the chairman of the South African Zionist Fed. Craig, wonderful to hear your voice.
Absolutely wonderful to be with you, Simon. Thanks so much for having me on the show this afternoon.
So just a very short while ago, I read out a notification from the South African Zionist Fed about an event that is going to be happening, I think, on the 16th, although they do say I'm forgetting things. Talk to me about the event.
So, Simon, yes. So next week, Thursday evening, we are going to be hosting an event where we are commemorating October the 7th. And I think that it's going to be incredibly moving. There's been a huge amount of work that's gone into putting this together. We are going to be blessed with hosting a hostage that was released from Gaza, a Gumburger. And I suspect it's going to truly be a memorable evening. And if I can just say that, I think that in light of some of the news today, perhaps it doesn't need to be as sad and solemn as it would have been had the other hostages not been returned home. But we hold with bated breath the hope that this will by next Thursday have happened and that all of the hostages will be back in Israel. And we can turn this event into both solemn, because we cannot forget what happened on the 7th of October, but maybe we can celebrate a little bit also.
Absolutely 100. It's such a bizarre time period we find ourselves in. I'm exactly with you. On the one hand, I feel the need and want to be so hopeful and so optimistic, and yet there remains a tingling doubt. I just know who we're dealing with, and they're not nice guys. So if they had to try sabotage it at the last minute, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I hope I'm wrong.
And it wouldn't be the first time.
Exactly.
But we hold hope, and it seems as if, you know, there are parties at the table that have not been pushing hard for peace. And I think that there's a concerted push now globally to try and find some kind of ceasefire. And the starting point, as we've said multiple times on your show, on other radio shows, and I've been saying for the last 2 years, the starting point is obviously the release of these hostages. There can never be peace without it. And hopefully some sanity will prevail and we'll see these people returning to their homes in Israel. And, you know, we can start the very difficult process of healing and rebuilding both in Gaza and in Israel.
I hear you loud and clear. I obviously agree with absolutely everything you've said. I'm thinking back to my own personal experience over the past 2 years of just having lived in South Africa. Neighbors, people that I interact with on a daily basis, walking around with Palestinian flags, no ability to empathize with the Jewish pain, with the Jewish angst, quite happy to cut down yellow ribbons on walls or hostage photographs. And just think, all they had to do was return the hostages, Craig. That's all that had to have happened for this war to have ended.
Absolutely, Simon. I think that it was the start, and that was the start. And the end was a very simple one. Release the hostages, Hamas to lay down its arms, and none of this devastation and pain needed to happen. It was completely unnecessary. And I think that that is probably the saddest part of this entire story over the last 2 years, is that it was so avoidable. It was so unnecessary. And the devastation on both sides, Simon, was absolutely avoidable.
Let's go back just a couple of days. The attack in Manchester, I speak to certain people in England. They're those who say they were utterly horrified and surprised. There are those who said, we saw this coming. What is your take on the murders in Manchester on Yom Kippur?
I mean, I don't need to say it, but I think the more that it's said, the more people need to hear it, is that these attacks were absolutely horrendous. Again, an absolute waste and terror imposed on a community with no positive outcome on either side. There's no value to this. And it was absolutely shocking on the most important Jewish holiday of the year, on Yom Kippur, that we had to hear the news of this devastating terror attack. And, you know, collectively our hearts and prayers go out to the victims that were injured and to those that lost loved ones for merely attending synagogue on the most religious day of the year. So absolutely shocking. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that I wasn't surprised, Simon. It's not a surprise. We've all, anyone who is connected to the Jewish nation, to Israel, follows anti-Semitism, could have called this out multiple times. And there have been stark warnings to politicians, to anyone who would listen, that this is the reality that Jewish people face globally on a daily basis.
Craig, let's bring it home. Let's talk about South Africa. Let's talk of your position in particular in the South African Zionist state. Is anybody listening to you, or are we talking to ourselves?
Oh, Simon, I really hope people are listening, and we work really hard not to just give our voice to our community, which, make no mistake, is critically important. But our role is to promote Israel and to do that across communities and across South Africa. So we do try our best to have a very wide voice and to touch as many people as possible. And Simon, whether they listen or not, I'm going to keep speaking, I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to keep trying in a world of absolute insanity to get people to hear the truth.
You know, I'm a positive person by nature, but when I heard about this Trump deal and the ecstasy that maybe the abductees would, the hostages would be returned, I thought, well, that's it. This is it. It's over. And then to read that there were demonstrations against the deal, that the Ceasefire Now people, who've been very busy for 2 years with very strong opinions, couldn't galvanize themselves behind this initiative. It's a frightening place to be, Craig.
It really is, Simon. It's frightening. It's disconcerting. But it just talks to the absolute double standard that we face every single day, where if there's the so-called genocide that's taking place, that people wouldn't rush to have a ceasefire. And there have been calls for a ceasefire, table for the ceasefire, and then there's a pullback. And it just shows the absolute double standard and the ridiculousness of some of these claims that are being used as propaganda in the media by various political leaders. And I think if anybody looks at this with a moderate lens and looks at the way things have unfolded from an unbiased perspective, you can see how ridiculous it actually is that there are people calling a genocide, and then there's an offer to stop the war, and they want to pull back and go, no, ceasefire is not a great idea. I mean, it's just so pathetically ridiculous that I'm even at a loss for words.
Yeah, no, that's exactly to where we've gotten, unfortunately, at this point. And the other thing is, I mean, I know my community pretty well. I know how proudly South African we have been and we are. The stance of our government, however, that's another position entirely. And to think that the lawfare against Israel originated here, well, back then in the Durban conference, when it the apartheid accusations, genocide accusations, we're just on the wrong side of the Israeli issue every single time.
Sadly, Simon, you're spot on once again. We are on the wrong side. And, you know, South Africa and our government have a truly unique position, Simon, where our experience, our shared experience of overcoming a hideous regime, the apartheid regime, gives us gravitas and gives us an opportunity to really have a positive impact in the world, and take this idea where we have very successfully brought communities in South Africa together. I'm not saying our problems are over, but truly a peaceful transition into a new democracy. And the one country that could have made a positive impact between Israel and the Palestinians
was South Africa.
And they have absolutely butchered that to the nth degree. And the really sad part is that what South Africa has really done is excluded themselves from any opportunity of nation building, both with Israel and with the Palestinians, and what's going to come in the future. And please God, Simon, I say this, that at some point in the future, the Palestinians will have the opportunity to live peacefully side by side with Israel and with the Jewish nation. That is what we all want. And the ANC have been completely tone deaf, and this one-sided approach has done nothing but potentially hurt any future impact that we as a country could have. Notwithstanding that, Simon, I think it's critical to say that the ANC does not speak or represent South Africa.
100% agree. 100%
and the
agree.
People of South Africa don't prescribe en masse to what the ANC have done, to taking Israel to the ICJ, to alienating Israel. The vast majority of South Africans, first and foremost, are facing their own challenges as South Africans. And I'm sure that the ANC could have spent the money, the many, many hundreds of millions spent at the ICJ fixing up South Africa.
Other things, yeah.
But second to that, I think that the South African population on a whole would love nothing more than to see South Africa involved in a peace process, bringing positivity into the world. And that, I agree, is an opportunity, opportunity missed.
Craig, we're out of time. I'm going to leave it there. It certainly won't be the last time we chat. Speak to you soon.